Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the Israeli targeted assassination of the military leader of Hamas in the Gaza Strip and assess the likely retaliation and possible military escalation between Israel and Hamas. MJ Rosenberg, a senior fellow at Media Matters for America and the former director of policy analysis for the Israel Policy Forum, joins us to discuss the motives behind Prime Minister Netanyahu's apparent provocation. Then we will hear from Khaled El-Gindi, who previously served as an advisor to the Palestinian leadership on permanent status negotiations with Israel. We will look into what response might come from the new Egyptian government, who are close to Hamas, and how the Palestinian Authority will be further isolated and weakened by an escalating confrontation between Israel and Hamas. Then finally, we will look into the civil liberties and privacy aspects of the government hacking into personal emails and what kind of laws there are to protect citizens from both the government and those who abuse the internet. Gigi Sohn, the co-founder and president of Public Knowledge, a public interest group working to defend citizens' rights in the digital age, joins us. We will discuss how vulnerable ordinary citizens are if the government can snoop on the nation's top spy. And joining us now is MJ Rosenberg, a senior fellow at Media Matters for America, where he focuses on foreign policy and Middle East affairs. At Media Matters, Rosenberg works to correct misinformation surrounding complex foreign policy issues. Previously, he served as the director of policy analysis for the Israel Policy Forum, and prior to that, spent 18 years within the United States government, 14 on Capitol Hill as an aide to Representatives Jonathan Bingham, Edward Feigin, Nita Lowry, and Senator Carl Levin. And from 1982 to 1986, he was the editor of the Near East Report, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee's APAC's biweekly publication on Middle East policy. Welcome to Background Briefing, MJ Rosenberg.
Thank you, Ian.
And clearly this attack by the Israeli Defense Forces that killed the military leader of Hamas in Gaza is bound to have repercussions, isn't it? I mean, there's some way or other Hamas is going to retaliate. So with that in mind, what was Netanyahu thinking when he ordered this attack?
Well, I actually think that his main consideration is always Iran. He is desperately eager to get the United States to sign off on his plan to attack Iran, or to to back Israel if it attacks Iran. And he's been worried for the last few weeks about the rumors, and he may know that they're not rumors, that the United States is talking to the Iranians right now. And there's New York Times reported that Valerie Jarrett, the president's close friend and one of his top assistants, has been meeting with the Iranians. So the Israelis are worried that we're going to go after some kind of a deal with Tehran. And I think heightening tension and attacking Gaza and causing the whole Middle East to be to become embroiled in anti-Israel feeling and war and whatever will pretty much ensure that nothing happens on that front. I think that is his main consideration. The reason, only because that is the ball he consistently keeps his eye on, Iran.
Well, there's been a political reason for that, surely, for the last couple of years, and that is, as long as Netanyahu's talking about Iran, he doesn't have to talk about the Palestinian situation that's been sort of festering. I understand that part of it. But what about the delicate situation with Egypt? Surely.
This really puts President Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood in a very difficult situation. They have, promised that they're going to maintain the peace treaty with Israel, but, how can they do that when Israel unleashes another onslaught? It's almost as if Netanyahu is oblivious to all that. He just, remember, he has an election coming up in January, and a wartime leader can probably do better than a peace leader. So that's a consideration, too. Not just Egypt, but also Turkey. The president of Turkey is going to Gaza in a week or two. He is very close to, to Hamas and to the Palestinians in Gaza. What I mean, it intensifies Israel's bad relations with all its neighbors, even Jordan, which right now there are all kinds of anti-government demonstrations going on there. Jordan is Israel's close ally. This makes it really difficult for every Muslim friend of Israel to maintain any kind of friendship at all. It seems kind of crazy to me.
Well, MJ Rosenberg, again, senior fellow at Media Matters for America, where he focuses on foreign policy and Middle East affairs, and he previously served as the director of policy analysis for the Israel Policy Forum and served for 18 years on Capitol Hill, being an aide to a number of congresspeople and Senator Carl Levin. Now, the head of state of Qatar, which is playing a leading role in funding and perhaps arming the rebels in Syria, who you would think in terms of Israel are doing what Israel would like and certainly what the America and Europe would like, which is to get rid of the Assad regime and to weaken Iran's influence in the neighborhood. He, the Sheikh Al-Thani of Qatar, was in Gaza recently with a pretty generous checkbook in hand. Mm-hmm. What's his motive there, do you think?
Well, I think that you're talking about Doha, Qatar's region.
I'm sorry. Doha. I got that wrong, yeah.
Yeah, I think that in general, there is kind of a, more of a, Palestinian, a pan-Arab acceptance that, Hamas is going to be the major spokesman for the Palestinians, as the Palestinian Authority under Abbas looks weaker and weaker. So I think that the various sheikhdoms are weak with the people in the street. They're seen as which they are, as kind of as totalitarian, as not representing the people. One way to show that they're down with the people of the Arab street is to support the Palestinians in Gaza, and that's what he's doing. Israel does not have bad relations with any of those sheikhdoms, but this will complicate that as well.
So what then is likely to happen in terms of retaliation? I understand that the Israeli Defense Forces have been putting out some rather triumphant tweets, have they not?
Oh, yeah, they have been tweeting, mission accomplished, this guy killed. They already named this. I forgot what it is. Whenever they have a major military operation in Israel, they give it a nickname, like Operation Peace for Galilee, was what they called the Lebanon War in 82. They've already given this one a nickname, like a little hashtag name. So I think their plan is that there's going to be a real war. That this is the prelude to an invasion of Gaza. President Obama's press conference today, he wasn't even asked a question about this. So that just indicates, and the United States already has put out a statement saying it supports Israel. So Netanyahu feels like he always pushes against doors that seem like they might be open. And he looked bad after the election. Netanyahu, he supported Romney. He's trying to to test his strength, and I think he's going to see that he's pretty strong. The fact is that Hamas has weapons. They have this Fajr rocket that supposedly is capable of reaching deep into Israel. Who knows what's going to happen? But Netanyahu is a very cynical man, and so is his defense minister, Ehud Barak. So, I don't know. They could actually really want a full-fledged war.
Well, what will happen if they have a fully-fledged war against
Gaza and Hamas, what is the Palestinian Authority going to be doing there? That you mentioned, MJ Rosenberg, that they've already lost a lot of their credibility in the, both in the Arab world and within the Palestinian community. So what are they likely to do if that comes to pass?
You know, the Palestinian Authority, they are in a terrible position. They are going to the United Nations this month, probably around November 29th, to ask for recognition for observer status for Palestinians, for a Palestinian state at the UN. I mean, it really is a nothing kind of status. It's kind of like what the Vatican has. Already, the Israelis are saying that if they get this observer status, they will use their influence in Washington to cut off all aid to the Palestinian people. Already, the lobby's cutouts in Washington have already said we will cut off Palestinian aid. So anything that the Palestinian Authority does, no matter how insignificant it is, the Israelis seem ready to crush them. It's almost as if they prefer to deal with Hamas than deal with the Palestinian Authority. Because if you're dealing with the Palestinian Authority, you have to deal with them diplomatically. But if you're dealing with Hamas, you can deal with them militarily. And that is clearly what Israel prefers. But the Palestinian Authority is on the brink of collapse, I think. And this war by Israel against Gaza could really finish them off.
So, MJ Rosenberg, do you think that is a tactic, a calculated part of the equation on the part of both Netanyahu and Barak?
It doesn't really make sense. Why would they want the Palestinian Authority to collapse, except, historically, they are the ones who, they kind of built up Hamas, 20 years ago. So they would have a Palestinian, the Palestinian side would be someone they wouldn't be pressured to negotiate with. They would always rather have on the Palestinian side someone that the United States doesn't make them talk to. So a complete Hamas triumph in both Gaza and the West Bank might be what they prefer. Remember, they don't want to negotiate. That's the bottom line. And with Hamas, no one pushes them to negotiate. Certainly not the United States and not the Europeans.
So, again, I'm speaking with MJ Rosenberg, senior fellow at Media Matters for America, where he focuses on foreign policy and Middle East affairs. Previously, he served as the director of policy analysis for the Israel Policy Forum. Now, I would think that, and you mentioned Valerie Jarrett perhaps being involved in secret meetings with the Iranians, and that's why Netanyahu's trying to stir up trouble in Gaza to change the subject and perhaps scuttle any efforts to make a deal. And these recent elections, along with Sheldon Adelson, looked like Netanyahu was a big loser. What's going on in the Israeli press in that regard? My understanding is a lot of Israelis were very upset that Netanyahu was meddling in the United States election and so clearly taking sides because of his friendship with Romney. What are you hearing from the Israelis about, could that play against Netanyahu in an election, notwithstanding what you just told us earlier, that by starting a war, he will make himself a wartime candidate for the January elections?
Well, if President Obama reacted to Israel's, this onslaught with some coolness and put out a statement that was even-handed, unlike, previous statements in the last 4 years, and indicated that he was not, by that statement, that he was not exactly pleased by Netanyahu's behavior, that would weaken Netanyahu. Israelis would then say, well, look, he's got his actions on behalf of Romney have hurt us. So that could, that could weaken Netanyahu. However, the United States government has already, gone all in supporting Netanyahu on this, so I don't see that happening. The fact is, that President Obama is in a uniquely strong position to put the squeeze on Netanyahu. Israelis are very concerned about having a U.S. president who does not like the Israeli prime minister. But I don't see that Obama will take advantage of that. It just, you know, the signs we see, for instance, the United States already has said that we will not support the Palestinian, submission for observer status at the U.N. So Obama is acting exactly as, one side of the pro-Israel, pro-Netanyahu, as he did in the previous term. So he has an opportunity to hurt Netanyahu right now. I don't see him using it.
Well, but the fact, if indeed it's a fact, MJ Rosenberg, that the Obama White House has sent an emissary in the form of Valerie Jarrett to negotiate secretly with the Iranians, that is a slap in the face to Netanyahu. I mean, he's been wanting the U.S. to join in a military strike against Iran and kept suggesting, remember what he did at the United Nations with that cartoon drawing of the bomb and drawing the red line. It couldn't be more explicit, this sense of urgency and the U.S. intelligence services have insisted that Iran's nowhere near a bomb. So I think in that regard, it looks like Netanyahu's lost. And if these sanctions bring the Iranians to the point where they'll make a deal that's transparent in terms of their nuclear ambitions, that could change quite a lot in the region, surely.
Yeah, and that is a good point. And I think, Ian, that might be exactly what President Obama is thinking, that he gives Israel a free pass on Palestine so that he can push where it most matters to him, which is avoiding this, a war with Iran. Unfortunately, however, the Palestinian people suffer in the meantime. But I think you're exactly right. That is, if in fact that's going on with Valerie Jarrett, and we are pursuing the diplomatic route, that would be a tremendous defeat for Netanyahu, and a defeat that would be most significant in terms of benefiting the United States. So I think you're right about that.
So the other wild card then is Syria, right, in terms of changing the equation there if the Assad's fall. And clearly there's a long stalemate and it may go on for some time more. The impression you get is that time is against Assad. There were some Syrian mortars were fired on the Golan Heights in the Israeli military retaliated and struck artillery positions in Syria. What do you think's going on there? Is that some peculiar provocation on the part of Assad to try and...
No, I don't think so. I think that neither Syria nor Israel wants any war on that front. Basically, Israel has had de facto peace with Syria since 1973. Assad is a very realistic player when it comes to his powerful neighbor to the south. I think the Israelis have to worry about who will take over next. But I can't see either the Israelis or the Syrians wanting to engage right now. The only possibility could be that maybe Syria, maybe Assad thinks, well, a war with Israel right now could unite his people. But that seems awfully far-fetched. So I'm willing to take both sides on face value. The shells landed by accident, and Israel just responded with a warning shot saying, don't do it again. I don't think there's more to it than that. I do think that in general, Israel being so powerful is what they call a status quo power, which means it preferred to have, Mubarak in there. It prefers to have Hussein in where he is. And even though Assad is allied with Iranians, I think that Assad is a status quo leader of Syria. And I think Israel is more comfortable with him than with whatever this opposition force is going to be. But who knows? The game these people play is kind of like beyond my ability to discern what they're thinking. But this is my guess.
Well, MJ Rosenberg, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with MJ Rosenberg, who's a senior fellow at Media Matters for America, where he focuses on foreign policy and Middle East affairs. At Media Matters, Rosenberg works to correct misinformation surrounding complex foreign policy issues, and previously served as director of policy analysis for the Israel Policy Forum and spent 18 years on Capitol Hill as an aide to Representatives Jonathan Bingham, Edward Figen, Nita Lowry, and Senator Carl Levin. And from 1982 to 1986, MJ was editor of the Near East Report, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, APAC's biweekly publication on Middle East policy. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back getting a perspective on Egypt's likely reaction to the Israeli attack on Gaza.
It's all about strikes now, so it would strike.